Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Bhagavad Gita as it is. By His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Founder Acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Reading from Chapter 2. So today we're going to read text 37 and 38. Chapter 2 is called Contents of the Gita Summarized. I'll read 237 and then we can read 38 together. Adova prapap shi svargam jitva vapokshise mahim tasmarutista kanteya yudaya krita nischaya. O son of Kunti, either you will be killed on the battlefield and attain the heavenly planets, or you will conquer and enjoy the earthly kingdom. Therefore, get up with determination and fight. Purport. Even though there was no certainty of victory for Arjuna's side, still he had to fight. For even being killed there, he could be elevated into the heavenly planets. The numbers are at the top of the page on the inside. Chapter 2, text 37. Okay, now 38. Chapter 2. So now 38. I'll read 37 again. O son of Kunti, either you will be killed on the battlefield and attain the heavenly planets, or you will conquer and enjoy the earthly kingdom. Therefore, get up with determination and fight. Even though there was no certainty of victory for Arjuna's side, he still had to fight. Even being killed there, he would be elevated into the heavenly planets. Text 38. Please repeat. Shuka duke same kritva. Shuka duke same kritva. 238. Mark 238. You got it? Shuka duke same kritva. Laba laba jaya jayo. Labha labha jaya jayo. Tato yudaya yuj yasva. Tato yudaya yuj yasva. Naivam papam avapshasi. Naivam papam avapshasi. Sukaduke samekritva. Laba laba jaya jaya. Tato du yudaya yujasva. Naivam papam avapshasi. Sukaduke samekritva. Laba laba jaya jaya. Tato yudaya yudyasva. Naivam papam avapshasi. Anyone else? Sukaduke same kritva. Japalapo chaya chayo. Tato yudaya yujasva. Naivam papa mavapshasi. Sukaduke same kritva. Lapa lapo chaya chayo. Tato yudaya yujasva. Naivam papa mavapshasi. Sukaduke samai kritva. Lapa lapo chaya chayo. Tato yudaya yujasva. Naivam papam avapshasi. Anyone else? Sukaduke same kritva. Laba laba chaya chaya. Tato yudaya yujasva. Naivam papam avapshasi. Tuka tuke same kritva. Laba laba chaya chayo. Tato yudaya yujasva. Naivam papam avapshasi. Sukha dukkhe same kritva. Labha labha jaya jaya. Tato yudaya yujasva. Naivam papam avapshasi. Anyone else? Sukha. Happiness. Dukkhe. And distress. Same. In equanimity. Kritva. Doing so. Laba alaba. Both profit and loss. Jaya ajayo. Both victory and defeat. Tata. Thereafter. Yudaya. For the sake of fighting. Yujasva. Engage. Fight. Na. Never. Evam. In this way. Papam. Sinful reaction. Avapshasi. You will gain. Translation. Do thou fight for the sake of fighting, without considering happiness or distress, loss or gain, victory or defeat, and by doing so, you shall never incur sin. Please repeat, do thou fight for the sake of fighting, without considering happiness or distress, loss or gain, victory or defeat, and by doing so, you shall never incur sin. Purport. Lord Krishna now directly says that Arjuna should fight for the sake of fighting because he desires the battle. There is no consideration of happiness or distress, profit or gain, victory or defeat in the activities of Krishna consciousness. That everything should be performed for the sake of Krishna is transcendental consciousness. So, there is no reaction to material activities. He who acts for his own sense gratification, either in goodness or in passion, is subject to the reaction, good or bad. But he who has completely surrendered himself in the activities of Krishna consciousness is no longer obliged to anyone, nor is he a debtor to anyone. as one is in the ordinary course of activities. It is said, Deva Deva Shibu Tapdanrinam Pitrinam Na King Koronayam Rini Charajan Savatmanaya Charanam Sharan Yam Gato Mukundam Paririja Kartam. Translation: anyone who has completely surrendered unto Krishna, Mukunda, giving up all other duties, is no longer a debtor, nor is he obliged to anyone, not the demigods, nor the sages, nor the people in general, nor kinsmen, nor humanity, nor forefathers. This is read from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, 5, 41. That is the indirect hint given by Krishna to Arjuna in this verse. And the matter will be more clearly explained in the following verses. And now the prayers starting on page 1. Page 1, yes, there's some prayers. Om Ajnana Timurandasya Gyananjala Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupam Kadamayam Dadati Swapadam Tikam. I was born in the darkest ignorance, and my spiritual master opened my eyes with the torch of knowledge. I offer my respectful obeisances unto him. When will Srila Rupa Goswami Prabhupada, who has established within this material world the mission to fulfill the desire of Lord Chaitanya, give me shelter under his lotus feet? Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaisnavamscha Sri Rupam Sakrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Ratha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Visakam Vitamscha. Hey Krishna Karana Sindhu Dinabando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Ratha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Vrate Vrindavanishwari Rishabhanu Suta Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpa Durubhyascha Kripa Sandubhya Evacha Paditanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadata Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. 37. O son of Kunti, either you will be killed on the battlefield and attain the heavenly planets, or you will conquer and enjoy the earthly kingdom. Therefore, get up with determination and fight. 38. Do thou fight for the sake of fighting, without considering happiness and distress, loss or gain, victory or defeat, and by doing so you shall never incur sin. So they're on the battlefield, and Krishna is trying to convince Arjuna that he's supposed to fight. Because at the end of the first chapter, Arjuna said, it was beginning of second chapter, 2.9, Arjuna says, Govinda, I shall not fight. This battle has been building up for years. They've gathered 460 million people there on the battlefield, and then Arjuna said he's not going to fight. And Arjuna, Krishna is the chariot driver, so he's trying to convince him to fight. He's giving all different kinds of reasons. So at the beginning of chapter 2, Arjuna says, please be my spiritual master. And then Krishna starts to convince him, and he's already said twice so far, please fight. In verse 18, he already said fight. Now again, he's saying fight, and Arjuna's not listening. He's arguing with God. He's still not listening. Krishna's giving reasons, the difference between the body and the soul, and then he tries another tactic, it's your duty, and then he's
he's trying different tactics. So Arjuna gave five reasons why he's not going to fight. There would be no enjoyment. How could I enjoy after this big battle? Another reason was, I will get so much sin if I kill my grandfather and my teacher and all my relatives. So he had all these different reasons for not fighting. So in verse 37, Krishna's he's counteracting the argument that Arjuna says, I won't be happy. He says, fighting is just going to make me miserable. How can I enjoy my kingdom if I kill all my relatives who I'm supposed to enjoy it with? And if I lose the battle, I'll get killed. So either way, it's going to be miserable. And Krishna says, no, no, it's not like that. If you lose, you're going to go to the heavenly planets, Swarga. And in the heavenly planets, that people get a very long life with lots of sense gratification. They can enjoy much better than we can here. So it will be quite nice for him. Material reasons. Krishna is giving these material reasons. And if you do win, you'll get such a nice kingdom, unrivaled kingdom on earth. It will be as good as being in heaven. He's trying to say you can enjoy. So Krishna's trying to give these different material reasons. The last few verses he was saying, you'll lose your reputation, you'll lose your honor, people will call you bad names, they'll call you a coward, you know, they'll call you a eunuch. And now he's trying different tactics. And in 38, he's saying, no, you won't get any sins by fighting. You'll get sins if you don't fight, because it's your duty. You should fight. And if you don't do your duty, then you'll definitely get sins. Arjuna was worried, oh, everything I get will be tainted with blood if I kill my teacher and my grandfather. Normally that would be so, but this is a special setup. The grandfather is fighting on the wrong side. That they have to kill Duryodhan. If they don't, if they lose the battle, Duryodhan will become the king. And he's not such a good guy. He has some good qualities. He's very brave, very generous. But look how he's been behaving. He's tried to kill the Pandavas. He insulted their wife, Draupadi, in the assembly. Tried to take off her sari in the middle of all generals. The king can't do things like that. No way can he get the throne. They have to fight. He'll get sin if he doesn't fight. Let me see what Burijan says. There's a book called Surrender Unto Me. It's an overview of the Bhagavad Gita by Burijan Das. So for the 37, Burijan writes, Arjuna had concluded that the fighting would bring him not enjoyment, but misery. Krishna herein defeats that point. Winning the battle, Arjuna thought, will cause the death of those with whom I would have enjoyed the kingdom. Losing will be my own death. But Krishna's words reverse Arjuna's plan. If you're killed on the battlefield, you will attain the heavenly planets. And if you're victorious, you get an earthly kingdom. So there's no loss. Actually, Krishna is very good at arguing. He's very good with words. Balaram's not so good with words. He's more good with the club. But Krishna's very good with words. But still he's having quite a hard time to convince Arjuna. It takes him almost 700 verses before Arjuna finally... And only because he's proven that he's God. So 38, Burijan says, Arjuna reasoned that fighting the battle would cause him to suffer prolonged sinful reactions. But here, Krishna explains that no sin will be occurred by one who executes his duty in the proper consciousness. So it's not the action that gives the karma, it's the consciousness behind the action. So it could appear that two people are doing the same work, but their consciousness can be different. One example is, there were three men who were building. They may have been Polish. And so the sage went to the first man and said, what are you doing? He said, I'm putting these bricks in a line with some mortar, and I'm making it in a straight line. And Then he went to the next man and said, what are you doing? He said, I'm building a wall. I'm putting the bricks on top of each other. It makes a nice wall. And then when the sage asked the third person, he said, I'm building a temple for Krishna. So they were doing the same work, but their consciousness was different. So Krishna is explaining now, if you fight in the right consciousness, then you don't get sin. And even in the state, according to state law, a soldier who fights in the battlefield, is maybe he'll get a medal, he gets honor. But if the same soldier kills the same guy in a fight in the city on a Saturday night, then he'll get put in prison. Or even maybe, depending on the country, get death penalty. Let's see what Burjan says. Previously, in verses 11 to 30, to remove Arjuna's arguments against fighting, Krishna presented jnana, the difference between the body and the soul. So the body is, the soul is Satchitananda, eternal, knowledgeable and full of knowledge and full of bliss, Ananda. And the body is the opposite. It's full of misery, full of ignorance, and full of misery. It's temporary, full of ignorance, and full of misery. Krishna calling. One time my spiritual master said, we know Krishna's telephone number. We know what he looks like, we know where he lives, and we know his telephone number. And the telephone number was, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. Just keep dialing. Krishna presented jnana, the difference between the body and the soul. Because Arjuna and the other warriors are eternal souls, no one would die. Only the body, which unavoidably perishes, can be slain. So the soul doesn't die. The body will die. The body will change. They'll change the body, but Bhishma, he's very old, he's a grandfather. So if he gets another body, he'll get him a nice young body with lots of energy. And probably he'll go to the heavenly kingdom and enjoy there. So the soul can't be slain, only the body can be slain. After presenting those arguments, Krishna encouraged Arjuna to fight based on fruitive considerations, karma, to gain pleasure and to avoid suffering. This is what most people are doing in their lives. They're trying to avoid suffering and get some happiness. Trying to make their life comfortable, a little more comfortable. If we buy this, we'll be a little more comfortable. Now, Krishna instructs Arjuna to combine both jnana, knowledge, and karma, activity, and to fight without material attachment. Working in this detached consciousness is called Nishkam Kama Yoga or Buddha Yoga. Detached, so it's detached from the outcome. You do your best and you leave the result up to Krishna. I did my best, whether it's successful or failure, that I can't, that Krishna will decide. You can see in the material life, sometimes a man works very hard and still he doesn't get rich. And another man, he works a little bit and he gets rich. It's up to Krishna to decide the result. So he's advising him to work on this detached platform. Detached work on the platform of knowledge. Srila Baladev Vidyabhusan defines Buddha Yoga as Nishkam Karma Yoga, incorporating jnana within itself, just with knowledge added. So you do the karma, not attached to the result, and you add the knowledge. One can perform Nishkam Karma Yoga on one of two levels, depending upon the advancement of one's transcendental knowledge. One who simply has jnana knowledge that he's not the body, performs nishkam karma, detached work. Such a person receives no reactions for his work because his knowledge has fostered his detachment from the work's results. However, one who has actual knowledge of Krishna possesses superior knowledge. He not only knows of his spiritual identity beyond his body, but he also knows that he is Krishna's eternal servant. So there's three things to consider: us, the material world, and God. So we have to know, I'm spiritual, the material things are material, and who is controlling everything is the boss, Ishvara, Krishna. And the soul, the soul is naturally a servant. Either I'm serving God, or I'm serving my wife, my husband, my child, my boss, the dog. I'm serving someone. So why not serve God? Why not serve the highest? Either I'm serving Krishna, or I'm going to serve Maya. If the nature of the soul is naturally to be a servant, everyone serves someone. Even if it's only that he's serving his senses. However, one who has actual knowledge of Krishna possesses superior knowledge. He not only knows of his spiritual identity beyond his body, he also knows that he is Krishna's eternal servant. Such a person also performs nishkam karma, but he receives no reactions for his work because he offers the fruits of his work to Krishna. Supposing the fruits of your work is to get some money. So some people, they work very hard and they give one portion of their money they give to Krishna. Like today, on the altar, there was a notice saying that the flowers had been sponsored. So they're giving this donation for Krishna. Both nishkam karma yogis are free from reaction because they practice detachment in knowledge. But the nishkam karma yogi who aspires for Krishna's loving service is far superior. He may not be on the level of transcendental devotional service, but his activities will one day lead him to Krishna's lotus feet. The nishkam karma yogi knows only that he's not the who knows only that he's not the body. If he the nishkam karma yogi who knows only that he's not his body may, if he desires Brahmavad liberation, gradually attain mukti. Or if his transcendental knowledge increases because he associates with Vaishnavas, he may elevate his desire and attain Krishna's service. Some people want to get impersonal liberation. They want to go to the spiritual world, into the Brahma Jyoti, Krishna's shining effulgence. And some people want personal liberation. They want to serve Krishna in the spiritual world, in Krishna Loka, or one of the other planets, Vaikuntha planets. So it's more elevated if he desires Krishna's service. Srila Prabhupada's purport brings this verse to the level of bhakti. Lord Krishna now directly says that Arjuna should fight. Arjuna should fight for the sake of fighting because he desires the battle. Krishna has arranged this whole thing. This whole Mahabharata is written by Krishna. The whole drama is written by Krishna. He's organized all the characters, all the places. He's given everyone their parts, and they just have to play their role. And Krishna wants the battle. If Krishna wanted, he could just kill the people without the battle. He could just arrange some natural disaster, or he could just use his Sudarshan chakra. He doesn't even need that. He could just, by willing it, kill them. But he's arranged the battle. There is no consideration of happiness or distress, profit or gain, victory or defeat in the activities of Krishna consciousness. That everything should be performed for the sake of Krishna is transcendental consciousness. So there is no reaction to material activities. So tomorrow we're going to go to Ghent. We're going to distribute some books and sing Krishna's holy names in the streets for the pleasure of Krishna. Krishna in this verse has directly instructed Arjuna to fight, though his order is in the form of requesting Arjuna to fight dutifully for the sake of fighting. Actually, Arjuna's fighting will ultimately be impelled by his desire to fulfill this order of Krishna. So at the end of chapter 18, in text 73, Arjuna says to Krishna, "Okay, I'll do whatever you want. My illusion is gone. I'll follow your orders." So eventually he's going to fight because Krishna wants it. He will be impelled by his desire to fulfill this order of Krishna. That is bhakti. Krishna wants Arjuna to fight on his order as his surrendered servant with bhakti, detached from the results. In this way, Arjuna will remain sinless. If he just fights just because Krishna wants it, he'll not get any sins. So that was from Burijan's book. So Arjuna's a Kshatriya. That's one of the four orders of the Varnashram system. So what are the other three? So Kshatriya is one of the orders, one of the castes. Vaishya, yes? Shudra? Yeah, Brahmana. So in Bhagavatam, in first canto, chapter 2, text 13, it's quite a famous verse. Atapam bidhya shrestha vanashrama vibhagasa svanostitascha dharmasya samsidhihari toshanam. O best among the twice born, it is therefore concluded that the highest perfection one can achieve by discharging the duties prescribed for one's own occupation according to caste divisions and orders of life is to please the personality of Godhead. Hari Toshanam. To please Krishna. So all the castes and all the orders, the four orders of life, Brahmacharya, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, Sannyas, and all the four orders, four ashrams and four castes, they're all meant to please Krishna. So Arjuna is a Kshatriya, he's supposed to fight, and so he should do it to please Krishna. So it's quite a heavy thing to do. It's okay to say Arjuna should do his duty, but what he's going to actually do is kill his brothers, his cousin brothers, who he was brought up with. So Duryodhan is the eldest of the 100 sons. So there's 100 of them, and they're all married. So there'll be at least they're married to at least one wife each. So there'll be hundreds of widows to look after. And all the other people all get killed. Millions of men get killed. There'll be all those widows that he's got to look after. They'll all be crying. They'll be saying, "Look what you've done. You killed my son. You killed my husband." It's quite heavy what he gets left with. Then he has to rule the kingdom with all these people who've lost their sons, their fathers, their husbands. Has anyone got anything to add? Any questions? So in verse 37, Krishna was saying, he's saying, telling Arjuna to fight because either he'll die and get the heavenly planets, or he'll conquer and get a very nice kingdom. That's one reason. And 38, the reason for fighting was that he won't get sin. If he fights in the right consciousness, he won't get any sin. These were the two reasons for that why he should fight. Any questions? Was it too technical? Okay, so we'll stop here then. We'll have bhajan now. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.